reality that a small business owner needs to be structured for, needs to plan for, and have an answer before it happens. That is, how are you going to deal with pressure from family and friends? Oh, you have this is so great. We've been friends since we were 5 years old. Remember that? Oh, all the time we played together. Oh, all kinds of things come up in their minds. They're not going to say this to you. But, and now you have this great business. You can do this for me. You can do this for me. It's no big deal. I just want you to just do it for me at no cost. Just give it to me. Just this, just that. And plan it. You have to be organized in your mind and your thoughts in advance so you handle it in a friendly, kind, diplomatic way. And do the best. I like to always do the best you could for family and friends. But you have your limitations. You need to know what they are. And you have your point where you can go. And you say, you bet, I'm happy to make an excellent price accommodation to you. We've been friends since we were 5 years old. And I'm going to really help you out. Don't get into something of, what do you want? What do you want me to do? I know we've been friends since five. What do you say? Well, I want it for nothing. That's what the friend's going to say. You can do it. It won't make no big deal for you. You can do it. So you need to be planned in advance. You know, how are we going to handle family and friends and pressures? You have a responsibility, you and your employees and your organization, to stay profitable. And you can't be profitable if you're giving everything away. And I know of a person that happened early on, and I saw this in our business career, where I knew a guy that totally bungled one of these deals. He was sincerely, and I think he was giving it to a friend, wasn't a family member, a friend, for his cost, but the way he handled it, I remember when it was over, the guy that he did that for thought he cheated him. He wasn't happy with the transaction. He thought the guy cheated him. And I know the guy didn't make anything on it, but it was the way he presented it, how he fumbled the request, that confused the person. And so once it was done, the fellow had to pay something. And really, he's always paying was the cost. But the way he handled it, he confused him to the point that he thought he cheated and made a bunch of money on it. He didn't make a thing. And that was a lesson we carefully analyzed. We carefully managed through that, through the years, and many, many, many deals through the years. And we're happy to do things for family and friends, but you have your limits of how far you can go. You have to know where they're at, and you have a very proactive, positive response to their requests. So they get value, and they're fine with it, and then you move on, and that's that. If you don't, and you're not prepared, you can make a big mistake like the example I gave. So understand up front, there will be pressure from family and friends if you have something that you can do. And service people probably struggle the most with it. Oh, it's just going to take a little bit of your time. That's all it's going to do. Dentists have problems. Their son-in-law has problems. Relatives, oh, I babysat you when you were a boy, you know. Oh, come on. The tooth's hurting to fix it. No regard for the whole years of training and the expense and everything behind putting a person in a position to do that. And so if you have a plan, you'll handle it fine. If you don't, it'll be a problem for you. Yes, Kathy, was it?
I guess I have to raise my hand. For a number of years, I did catering, especially of LDS wedding receptions from my home. Didn't really have my shingle out, but it was just word of mouth as I was able to handle that responsibility within my limitations at home. But I'll tell you, I said it over and over again to my husband, the hardest thing was to charge. I mean, I have things that I know were signature items that, oh yeah, we know, those are Kathy's ham roll-ups and her, you know, this kind of thing. But the hardest thing was to charge. And quite honestly, this is kind of a unique group I'm speaking to, my own friends in the LDS church. Everybody wants a good deal. Sure. Everybody wants it cut rate, which is basically for nothing. And
well, then that's your responsibility. You get organized so that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Sister Simcox, has this come up once or twice or three times every time we do one of these sessions? Every time.
Called
you can plug that response in, and that question, and especially on this catering, just like you just said, every time that comes up. But there's no reason for it to be that way.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to feel that way. Mm-hmm. You just tell them, you bet, I'm happy to do it. And this is, and it's going to be, I'll give you a great service, quality, and the price accommodation. That's all you have to say. Okay. And this is what it's going to cost. And so you, because you have to make something for all your work. You're not about just doing things just on. Sure, we have people we do things for. We volunteer, we do all these things. But in general, in your business, if you're catering like that, it's a business that has to have profits.
And
yes.
I'm in the service industry, and it's the service and sales, but I get that a lot too, and a lot of people. So what I've been taught to do, if let's say it's a $100 job that you're going to go do, and you're going to say, yeah, I'll cut you a break, Mrs. Smith, and you go out there, you do the job, you charge them $200 for it, and on that, you put customer discount, $100. So it's really, you're charging them your fair price, but they're like...
Yeah, there's different ways to do it.
$100 discount? So they feel like they got something. Great discount.
I like that price accommodation.
Words could have big impact.
They can.
Percentages are confusing, other things are confusing, but words can solve and stop the problem before it ever happens.
But maybe it's a mindset for us that we need to change, get a little more business oriented rather than, come on,
Very good. Yes.
How do you set those guidelines? Because, I mean, we've dealt with it with Carl working on cars, for our friends, and they'll come by and say, it's going to take is 5 minutes of your time. You just have to run it around the block. You'll know what it is. You can fix it. And then we're going to be on our way to Disneyland. And we're going, what? and he does that. or in the dental office, and unfortunately, I say this not with any pleasure, a lot of the LDS families are the ones that we have the hardest time getting paid for.
Let me say this. It has nothing to do with someone's religious affiliation. It's human nature. It's relationships. People know people. And because of exactly what that says, that's what causes it. That's where it's all at. It has nothing to do with their race, religion, age, or anything. It's human nature. Everyone does. So it isn't just the LDS, it's everywhere. So you just have to organize. Carl has to figure a way to deal with that and not go driving everybody's car around the block for the rest of his life for nothing. Yes.
Carl and I actually talked about that because we came from the same type of thing.
Sure.
And he's told me, and the same thing has happened to me, where the bishop has called someone and said, Carl can come and take a look at your car.
Right.
And I've had people call me and say, well, the bishop said that you might be able to fix my car. And I said, well, yeah, I can fix your car. This is what I'm going to charge.
This is my hourly rate, and this is my fee.
Right. Is that okay?
I'm happy to help you out.
Yeah.
This is my fee.
Mm-hmm. I've done that.
I assure you, just because the bishop told me, the bishop didn't expect you to take the day off of work and do it all for nothing. He knows you have something to do.
But I found that if I make that statement right up front, they are usually willing to listen to me, and I say, this is what's wrong with your car, and this is what it's going to cost you, and they usually say, okay. But if I bring that right up front and say,
absolutely,
this is what it is.
So this just...
Then go talk to the bishop.
When the bishop calls me, then I'll do it for you.
So the point is be prepared. Be prepared and have your response planned, and don't be afraid.
So what I'm looking for is an example. Tell me an example. We come to you, and I say, I need
a diamond
for my son.
He's
getting engaged here. If that happened once, it happens 1,000 times to us. So we say, sure, great, we'd be happy to help you.
And then they give you that stuff, but we've been our kids grew up with each other.
Oh, sure. They say all kinds of things. You say, sure, we'll be happy to help you.
Yeah.
And then you said, we don't know what their budget is. One person wants a $200 ring and one wants a $2,000 ring. So we don't know any of that. We're not going to have 20 questions. We're going to say, sure, we're delighted to help you. We're going to give you a nice price accommodation. And we do. And based on whatever their budget is and what direction they're going, that's how we handle it. And I think the key is you just have a plan that's a positive response when asked. Whether it's somebody saying, I want you to come drive my car, check it out, fine. You have a positive response, pre-planned, on what you're going to do, because you're not, your life isn't about making every Saturday 8 trips around the block for 8 different people with their problem car, and that's it. Your Saturdays do other things. So you just have a pre-planned approach. And if you're the dentist and like our son-in-law, they have all of the trappings of their success. There's no question anybody's mind that knows them or is their relative or is around them or sees them knows of their success. So that's there. They're not hiding that. But the people are not hiding that. And so it's very easy for someone to say, oh, you guys are doing so great. You can just do this for me because you're doing so great. So you just have a very polite, organized plan of how you handle that situation. Because it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have the requests. Some businesses are a lot more vulnerable to abuse than others are. And Carl's more, he works at Xcel Energy. He doesn't need anything anyway from this, so he can just fix my car. Because he already gets a paycheck at Xcel Energy. Well, he has to figure out how to deal with that. And if you have to start your own formal little business and put a little sign somewhere at the house that they can look at, maybe you have to do that. You have to figure out your own, work through it. It isn't a big issue. It isn't that big of an issue. We're talking a lot about it. It's not that big of an issue. The big issue is having good customers and serving them and having sales and having a good ongoing business. This one here is pretty easy, so don't fret over this one. Fret over having new customers. Okay, now we're ready to start moving on to other things.
Did you have a sample of that? Or?
I'm sorry?
Oh,
we're not ready for that yet. Your book has some of this in it, yes. First of all, we need Brother Kuzmich to... No, I don't. You showed me how. I just pushed Alt-Tab.
And as soon as it says video, click on it and smile and click on it.
Okay. Okay, I've decided to invite Ma and Pa back in to get your minds really sharp for the rest of our time together on the numbers. After we go over the numbers, we're also going to go over sales and the sales process and some other good principles. So. Let's see now. I pressed Alt Tab. Oh, okay. There we go. Okay. There we go. So let's hear Ma and Pa again.
Just double click on it.
I will.
I figure 75% to you.
Okay. We're going back to the same
one. 25% divided between the five of us. Jinda, Cobar, myself, Tom, and the baby. That makes 5% for each one of us.
Billy, you're cheating yourself. If there's 25% divided among the five of you, that's 14% apiece.
Oh, no, listen, Pa. I wouldn't cheat you. You know I wouldn't. Now, look here. I'll show you. Let me run this out here. Now, 25 divided by 5 is 5. You see, if the 5 won't go into 2, will it? No. But 5 goes into 25. 5 times, you see?
Oh, you're wrong, Billy. Now, look at the distance. Now, 5 into 25. 5 won't go into 2.
No.
But 5 goes into 5 once. Now, we didn't use the 2 before, so we're putting it down here. Now, 5 into 20 goes 4 times.
There you are.
5 into 25, 14.
No, look, Mom, now let me prove it to you. I'm not one of the patients. Five times five is 25.